I would like to speak to you for a few minutes from a short passage in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. Philippians 1, verse 21 to verse 24. The apostle says here to the Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." It's this thought here that Paul says, "I have a dilemma. I'm torn between the choice of two. I don't know which to choose, to depart or to remain." Now, this is a remarkable tiny section of scripture, because it's just an aside. It's in brackets, in parentheses, as we call it. I will at another time speak on the paragraph. It's about his labours in the gospel amongst the Philippians. But in the course of speaking on that subject, he drops in this, what I call, an aside, a digression. He puts it in brackets, if you like. But what a remarkable statement it is for a digression. What a remarkable aside it is. What does he mean by depart? And what does he mean by remain? Well, he's talking about death, isn't he? Depart means to die, to leave this world. To remain, it means to stay alive. The context here, as I say, is staying alive, being fruitful in his labour in the gospel, with and for the Philippians and others. But in his mind and in his heart, he really is torn. "If I could choose," he said, "which would it be? To depart, to die, or to stay alive and remain?" Now, this is not, strictly speaking, his choice. God is sovereign, he knows that. His times are in God's hand. But he's speaking aloud, he's musing, and he's letting the Philippians know what's in his heart and mind, and he's letting us know too. And it's, for those of us who are believers, it's a challenge, it's an encouragement, it's an instruction to us, it's really helpful to us to see what's going on in the apostle's mind and the way he faces this important matter of life and death and the end of life. Remember, this man is in prison. Remember, he's on trial for his life. Now, the jails in Paul's day are not those modern jails. I know the prisoners complain about them a lot, but I have been round a castle in this country of mine. I'm speaking from the United Kingdom, and I've seen the conditions of the dungeons in the Middle Ages, the medieval times, and they were horrendous. What they would have been like in Roman times, in the first century, the mind, well, I don't know, I'm speechless. The conditions must have been awful. I know in my country, back in the Reformation times, people would die in prison from jail fever, very commonly. It was a place, a hotbed of sickness and disease. So there's no idle talk here. He's not just talking out the back of his head. He might die by the execution, he might die some natural causes, or he might die of jail disease, of his sufferings, of torture, whatever. But he faces this prospect with such equanimity, with such contentment. And indeed, he says he desires. I would rather, he says, if it were possible, if it was my choice, I think I would choose to depart, to die. Now, I find that a remarkable statement. I don't know about you. It's very, very different to the majority statement the majority would make. In Paul's day, and in ours. I think the spirit of most people, we have it told to us, is let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And of course you know what that means. Let's fill our lives with all the carnal pleasures we can. Money, entertainment, every kind of lust and perversion, sex, power, whatever. Let's fill our lives. It's called hedonism, a Greek word. See where it comes from. This is the society in which Paul is living. Let's fill our lives with all the pleasure and all the self-satisfaction and fulfillment of the body and the mind that we can think of. Let's indulge ourselves, because sadly, grievously, it's all going to come to an end. So let's make hay while the sun shines, as we say, and let's get all the pleasure we now can, because the day is coming when we shall die. I can quite understand the natural man thinking and talking like that. The truth is, this life is their heaven. And heaven to them is as much carnal pleasure of one form or another, mental, physical, emotional pleasure of some kind. Let's indulge ourselves now, because death is coming, and, well, we won't even think about that, but death will put a stop to all the pleasure we can have now. This is in stark contrast to Paul's thought. Death isn't the end. Death is the beginning. Death isn't a closure. Death is an opening. Death isn't the end of pleasure. Death is the beginning, in some senses, in many senses, in the real sense, the beginning of all his pleasure. People, as far as I can judge, cling on to life, white-knuckled, holding on by their fingertips. They don't want to let it go. You remember that king whose horse lost a shoe, and he couldn't ride the horse in battle, he was off his horse. And remember, he cried out, "A horse, a horse, my kingdom for a horse." What was he asking for? He would give away all his wealth if he could have a moment of time. In fact, I think somebody said that, what they would give for a moment of time. They want to live, because death to them is the end. But for Paul, death to him is the beginning. He's not clinging on to life. He knows if he lives, there'll be profitable service. But if he had the choice, he would die. What makes the difference between these two men? The natural man who wants to go on living for this life, and this man, Paul, who is so eager for death. Well, what's beyond death? Now, the natural man will poo-poo it, but the Bible tells us very plainly, and I think it's written into men's hearts, like God is, Romans 2, I think he has left himself a witness in men's hearts. This death is not the end. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And then what? And I think that's why the natural man doesn't want death. He wants to cling on to the pleasure now because this is heaven, because he knows what's coming is hell. Of course, he poo-poos it. Of course, he laughs at it. Of course, he dismisses it. But he clings on to this life because that's all he's got. Paul, though, knows that death is not the end to him. It's not the end of his pleasure. It's the opening to it and the beginning to it. And the difference is the natural man is going into death as he's living now. He's going into death and the judgment and to eternity. He's going Christless. Paul says, the difference for me, why I desire, because I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. For to me, to live is Christ. I have Christ now, and to die is gain. Why? Because I will have Christ even more. I will be in his immediate presence and never separated from him. I shall be with him and like him forever. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. What makes the difference? It is Christ. How can a man live? He lives with Christ or without Christ. He will die with Christ or without Christ. He will be in the day of judgment and face God with Christ or without Christ. And he will go into eternity with Christ or without Christ. In Ephesians 2, it's without Christ, without God, without hope in the world. Without hope in judgment, in death, in judgment, without hope in eternity. Paul knows that to die is to be with Christ and enter into everlasting glory. Now, I'm well aware, my friends, that the New Testament says very little about what we call the intermediate state, the state after death until Christ comes again, and the eternal state. And I'm not going to speculate, but I am going to say this with Paul. When he dies, he will be with Christ, which is better by far. Hebrews 12 talks about the spirits of just men made perfect. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and this is what he said to them, 2 Corinthians 5. Now we know, we're persuaded, we're sure, we're confident, that if our earthly tent, that's this body, a tent, a mortal tent, we live in is destroyed, comes to its end, dies, we have a building from God, not a tent, an eternal house, not a temporary thing, eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing, you see, the same spirit, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. There's sin around us, there's failure, there's disappointment, there's illness, there's age. We groan and are burdened. Because we do not wish to be unclothed, we groan and we long, what for? But to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it's God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit of God as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that as long as we are at home in the body, here in this life, we are away from the Lord. We have Christ with us, but the real presence of Christ, the actual presence of Christ, awaits that dying day. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul goes on to say, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men, and so on. You see, it's all connected with this. He can see his own happiness. He can see his own joy. But he knows that death is the end of all hope for the unbeliever, and he longs to persuade many so that they'll come to Christ, live with Christ, die with Christ, come to the judgment in and with Christ, and live forever in glory with Christ. Do I speak to an unbeliever listening to me now? You are Christless, my friend, and there is salvation in no other name under heaven. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need to be saved from your sins. You need to be at peace with God. If you die outside of Christ, judgment and eternity will be hopeless. You will perish. There is no need for it, my friend. I plead with you, come to Jesus now. Receive Jesus now. God be merciful to me, a sinner, cry to him. And you will be in Christ. Live for Christ now, after you've come to him. You will die with Christ. He will be with you in the judgment, and his righteousness will clothe you. His blood will have washed away all your sins, and you will enter into everlasting glory with him. Otherwise you will perish. Believer, are you on the edge of dying? Are you afraid? There is a fear in it. You have Christ now, my friend. He will not desert you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you in death. He has gone through it himself. He sympathizes with us. He knows how to care for us. He will be with you in the judgment. And he will take you into everlasting glory. Am I speaking to a believer who's lost a loved one? Or is close to the prospect of losing a loved one? A believer? I've had that experience. I know what bereavement is. I know what it is to stand by an open tomb. And I know how cold it is looking at a gravestone. But this I know also. In my own case, I can say it. The one I'm thinking of, she was in Christ before she died. She died in Christ. She's in Christ now and with Christ. And it's better by far. I hope that will be a comfort to you, believer. Maybe you're a young believer and you're a long way, you feel, from death. But death is on the road. It is appointed unto men once to die. Live for Christ now. Serve Christ in a fruitful labor now. But look forward to the day when you too will have to die. It will be better by far. What a glorious aside this is. This for a digression. The worldling has nothing like it. The world is empty now. Eat, drink, be merry. That's all they've got. For tomorrow we die. The believer has Christ now, has Christ in death, has Christ in the judgment, has Christ in eternity. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So no wonder the apostle would say, to be with Christ, which is better by far, absent from the body, and present with the Lord.